Well, microphones went missing after last Sunday. If anyone sees a microphone lying around in the church, could you please hand it in? Because we've got to swap microphones.
Let's begin with a prayer, shall we? Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and speak to us this morning. We ask that my words, that I would speak in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder if you've ever been snorkeling. Hang on. That's better. I wonder if you've ever been snorkeling. I've only done it once, and it was the most incredible experience. Now, I grew up on the Dorset coast, so I've swum in the sea thousands of times. I know what the sea looks like, how it feels to swim in it. But this one time, off the coast of Zanzibar, I put on a snorkel and mask and started to swim. So far, so familiar. So far, so good. I was enjoying the sparkle of the sun on the waves, enjoying the feeling of swimming in the sea. And then I put my face in the water and looked around. Wow. A whole new world. Hundreds of brightly coloured fish, corals, rocks. Oh, so much beauty. Vivid shapes, colours, textures, life. I'll never forget that sense of being introduced to a whole new world. It was always there, but I didn't realise it was there until I got off the boat and immersed myself in it. A whole new world to discover. I wonder if the Christian life is a bit like that snorkeling experience. Many of us will have grown up knowing about Jesus, grown up as Christians. We know what being a Christian looks like, feels like, how it feels to go to church, to read our Bibles, to pray. So far, so familiar. So far, so good. And then we experience being filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. A whole new world. Always there, but we didn't realise until we got out of our comfort zones and allowed the Holy Spirit to fill us. A whole new world of living the Christian life to discover. A whole new world of adventure and possibility. In the Bible, Paul tells the church in Ephesus to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the first of three Sundays, as Alan said, and a Saturday morning when we're learning together and experiencing together what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I do so hope to see each of you at the Sundays that we're meeting together and exploring this and on that Saturday morning. So today, though, we're focusing on who the Holy Spirit is and if that instruction to be filled with the Holy Spirit might just be for us too. So who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is the creative, powerful person of God, the third person of the Trinity, not an it or a what, but a who, the third person of the Trinity. And he's present throughout God's big story, from creation right up to today. The Holy Spirit is present throughout the Bible. And we heard, didn't we, in that reading from Genesis 1, how the Holy Spirit was present at creation, hovering over the waters. That word for hovering is a bit like a dove, just fluttering. The creative and tangible presence of God, right there at creation. And in the Old Testament, we read of the Holy Spirit resting upon certain people, at certain times, for certain tasks. We read of Bezalel in the book of Exodus. He's a craftsman and he's filled with the Holy Spirit and enabled to work skillfully with his hands, to be creative in making the tent of meeting. The Holy Spirit inviting us to join in God's creative activity in order that he will be met with and worshipped. And then there are leaders like Joshua, filled with the Spirit in order to wisely lead the people into the promised land. The children are learning about Gideon, again, someone filled with the Holy Spirit, in order that he can lead with wisdom, with power, and with courage. And then Isaiah, and other prophets too. Isaiah knew that his message was true because the Lord sent me and his Spirit, we read in Isaiah 48. The Holy Spirit as revealer of truth, as communicator, as the Holy Spirit, purifying. Now, as we go into the New Testament, there's a whole step change. As we see Jesus's life utterly filled, utterly immersed in the Holy Spirit. We read of the Holy Spirit enabling Mary to be the mother of Jesus. He initiates. And then the Spirit descends on Jesus at his baptism as a dove and leads him, interestingly, into the wilderness before his ministry begins. Before Jesus' ministry begins, he's told by God that he is utterly the beloved. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit accompanies Jesus into a hard place, into the wilderness. And then in Jesus' ministry, the Spirit enables him to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to discern what people are thinking and what it is wise to do and say. Jesus makes it clear that it's the Holy Spirit's presence. He says, "By myself, I can do nothing." The Holy Spirit's power, empowering, healing, although we don't understand why that always doesn't happen, and giving knowledge. And it's the Holy Spirit's power that raises Jesus from the dead. So what changed after Jesus was raised from the dead? Well, God made a new covenant with people, a new promise. Jesus, God with us, had gone back to heaven, but God would still be with his people, but not in just one time and one place, but with everyone, in every time and every place. Everyone who follows Jesus. And so we come to Pentecost and that reading in Acts 2. Pentecost, when all the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. A new beginning, when all God's people are welcomed into a new world, where they can know God's presence, where they can experience his love and power and participate in bringing his kingdom. Just before Jesus left them to go into heaven, the disciples had been told by Jesus to wait for what the Father had promised, to wait until they'd been clothed with power from on high. And then the Holy Spirit came, unmistakably and powerfully, in wind and fire. And those were tangible ways that the disciples would have recognized from their knowledge of the Old Testament as God's presence. The disciples received the Holy Spirit. And the disciples were transformed. They responded to the Holy Spirit. They responded in worship. They responded in communicating about God in ways that people from all nations could understand, in power, so that 3,000 people became followers of Jesus on that day. Now, I looked up the population of Westcott, and that's more, about 500 people more, than the whole population of Westcott becoming Christians on just one day. Imagine that. So that promise of Jesus that the disciples would be filled with the Holy Spirit is for us too. We are each of us invited into that whole new world of living life, knowing God with us and living empowered by him for a life of adventure and possibility. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is an integral part of following Jesus. It's not an optional extra. It's not just the sort of extra enthusiastic and somehow rather emotional sort of Christians. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is an integral part of following Jesus, not an optional extra. The Holy Spirit has continued to fill followers of Jesus with his presence through the centuries since Pentecost up until now. And there are plenty of people in our church who can absolutely testify to the Holy Spirit's presence and power in their lives. I know I can. In those amazing mountaintop experiences of God, and also in the wilderness times, when all we can do is just keep holding on, because he is with us. In the mundane and ordinary times, when we know simple inspiration, perseverance, encouragement for ourselves and others. When we repent of our sin and decide to follow Jesus, God not only forgives our sins, he fills us with the Holy Spirit, with his cleansing, empowering, and communicating presence with us. But God is a God of relationship, of continued activity with his people and in this world. And in the Bible, we're told to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, to eagerly seek his gifts. We were never meant to try to be Christians on our own. Now, I don't know how many people here have seen the film Finding Nemo. It came out quite a long time ago, didn't it? But it's all about this little tropical fish who gets caught and put in a tank, but who desperately longs to be back in the ocean. Well, without spoiling the storyline too much for anyone who hasn't yet seen the film, do watch it, it's good. One day, when this fish tank that the fish are held in is being cleaned, these fish who long for the ocean have been put into little bags of water so that the tank can be cleaned. And they manage to roll the bags of water out the window, across the road, and into the ocean. I absolutely love it. They are free. It's worth watching the credits of the film because it's the bit where they turn up. And it's one of my favourite scenes. They're there. They're where they're longing to be, in the ocean. But we see them bobbing in their little water bags, saying, "Now what?" And it just makes me laugh every time. But I wonder, is it also perhaps a good picture of us sometimes? Do we sometimes end up living our Christian lives a bit like this? Free? And with enough Holy Spirit to keep us alive in faith for a while at least? But isn't there a whole new world to be explored? So much more life to be lived in vibrant colour. A life of adventure and purpose. A life of knowing God's loving, enduring presence with us, whatever happens. What would life be like lived filled with the Holy Spirit? Living in the enabling, empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, the God who says, "Do not fear, I am with you," every day. What would that mean for each of us? Could we be brave enough, trust God enough, to stop trying so hard to be in charge of our lives, of doing life, of doing faith in our own hard work and strength, and enter into the whole new world of living life free, filled with the Holy Spirit, and enabled to be fully the people God created us to be, partnering with him in bringing his kingdom? Now that's a lifelong process of living life with the Holy Spirit filling us. And the Holy Spirit may sometimes be experienced in powerful and unpredictable ways, because he is God after all. But it is his presence each and every day that we need. The invitation to be filled with the Holy Spirit is an invitation to each of us into a whole new world, into living life free, filled with the Holy Spirit, bringing glory to Jesus and making him known to others. So in conclusion, the Holy Spirit is the creative, powerful person of God, present throughout God's big story, from creation right up to today. Jesus promised to the disciples that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit is for each of us too. We are each invited into that whole new world, of living life, knowing God with us, and living empowered by him to live a life of adventure and possibility right where we are. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need regularly to wait. To wait for the Holy Spirit. To stop running long enough to listen. To stop trying to live self-sufficient lives. To receive the Holy Spirit. To respond to the Holy Spirit. Living God-sufficient lives. Knowing God's love and forgiveness, worshipping Jesus, and making him known to others. And I'm going to suggest at the end of this talk now that we just make a bit of time to wait, to pray, to listen. So I invite you, if you'd like to, just to close your eyes. Perhaps to put your hands open in your lap, just as a quiet way of saying to the Holy Spirit, I'm here. I'm waiting for you. I bring you who I am, in my joy, in my grief, in my questions, in my longing. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Most of us desire more of God's power because we're tired of personal and moral defeat in our lives, tired of ineffective witness, tired of being on the end of Satan's boot rather than vice versa. However, this is not simply a desire that God would bless me, but that God would bless others through me. This is not power simply for my benefit, but for others. Once I have experienced that transforming power of God, that Holy Spirit power, which is the source of life and the presence of love, then I may be useful to others. God's power working through me. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your presence, that we would learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Knowing your love, knowing your presence, and sharing that love and presence with those we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.